the anthropologist Victor Turner's work turns up a theme of cultural polarity that seems to occur throughout the ages, from the yin and yang of the ancient Chinese Taoists, Heraclitus's flux and logos, Jordan Peterson's chaos and order, and Ian McGilchrist's work on the left and right hemispheres of the brain. Turner's duality offers a powerful insight into our nihilistic culture wars world and offers a unique and fertile take on what it is that ails our society. For Turner, the complementary duality that emerges is between structure and anti-structure, or, as Turner more often refers to it, communitas. From an anthropologist's perspective, looking at all types of human society, Turner sees structure and communitas as being the two major models of human interrelatedness. These two terms capture all the trends of progress, doom, and gloom that mark the history of humanity. Structure is the world of status, roles, offices, and power, while communitas is the domain of love, myth, and of mystical unity with everyone and everything. If we were to put a couple of political stereotypes on them, we would call structure bureaucracy and communitas utopian anarchism. This episode, we're going to examine in detail what Turner means by structure and by communitas, and then over the next few months, there'll be more episodes where we explore what this lens reveals about our current world. Firstly then, let's look at what Turner means by structure. It's important to note that Turner is coming out of the British anthropological tradition, and so he's not using structure in the sense that the French anthropologist Claude Lévi-Strauss does, which we explored in the earlier episode on the French structuralism of Lévi-Strauss and his followers, which was the driving force behind the post-structuralists like Derrida, Foucault, Baudrillard, and Deleuze. Lévi-Strauss's use of the term refers to an underlying cultural structure, a sort of grammar of how society is organized. This French structure is more about logical categories and the relationships between them, and it is likely to be something that the individuals in the society are completely oblivious to. But in the British social anthropological tradition that Victor Turner is coming out of, structure is something every individual is acutely aware of. As we mentioned already, structure and communitas are two modes of human interrelatedness. The structural way of relating to others is through our roles and status in society. If you're a shopkeeper, a waiter, a banker, or a mechanic, there's a certain way that this structural role invites you to interact with others, and that interaction depends on whether they are customer, boss, employee, or investor. In each case, there is a structured way of interacting with them. With the customer, we might expect politeness and joviality. With the boss, a sense of deference, and with the employee, a sense of supportiveness or sternness. That's not to say there's only one way of interacting, but that the structural role determines the range of possible interactions. If a boss interacts with an employee the way they interact with a lover, they are supposed to lose this role. But of course, these are just the linguistic ways of interacting, but wearing a Rolex, driving a Bentley, and having a corner office are just as much structural communication as any words. They're status symbols. We could swap these out for taking ayahuasca in the Amazon, being vegan, and being one of those people who went to Burning Man before it was cool, or whatever set of status indicators work in your corner of the culture. The point is that structure is about our place in the institutionalized hierarchical superorganism that is society. You can think of structure as the skeleton of human society. It's the realm of the political, the legal, and the economic. It's the realm of property, whether that's owned privately or communally. These mutually dependent parts of the superorganism organize a society with only gradual changes through time. This skeleton of structure differs across time and space. The skeleton of an Australian Aboriginal tribe 1,000 years ago gave its society a different shape than the ancient Roman structure did for its society. What remains the same wherever we look at humans living in community is that aside from a few exceptional moments in time, there is always a structure, always a skeleton which organizes individuals according to their status and role in the society. As Foucault would note, the power of this structure isn't just restrictive in telling us what we can't do, but it is constitutive, that is to say, it's creative. Its abstract, hidden nature shapes us and limits the ways we can be shaped. On a final note, this idea of social structure has come to be connected with the idea of conflict, since the separating out of parts into a hierarchical ladder of higher and lower inevitably creates scarcity and leads to competition and conflict for the scarcer higher status. To summarize then, structure is the status-oriented institutionalized skeleton common to every human society. While the status markers and the exact institutions may differ from society to society, what is shared is the abstract structure that organizes its members. Communitas isn't nearly so easy to define. It's worth remembering that Turner's synonym for communitas is anti-structure. This fits neatly with the simplest definition he gives of this second mode of human interrelatedness. He writes, "For me, communitas emerges where social structure is not." Turner illustrates this complex relationship between communitas and structure wonderfully by drawing on the 11th chapter of Lao Tzu's Tao Te Ching, where the Taoist sage writes, "We join spokes together in a wheel, but it is the center hole that makes the wagon move. We shape clay into a pot, but it is the emptiness inside that holds whatever we want." This illustrates beautifully the relationship of complementary opposites between structure and communitas. The pot is the solid structure, and communitas is the emptiness inside where all the magic happens. Without the emptiness, there's no pot, and without the solid structure, there's only a block of matter. While it is possible to speak about structure without speaking about communitas, it is more difficult to do the opposite. This is only natural given the Lao Tzu-esque emptiness of it. But accepting this hiccup, there is a lot we can say about communitas, about how it shows up in society and what its products are. With structure, the way of relating to our fellow humans is regulated by our positions in the society's superstructure, in its status hierarchy. The communitas way of relating, on the other hand, is more existential. As Turner put it, it involves the whole man in his relation to other whole men. In contrast to the norm-governed, institutionalized, abstract nature of structure's interrelatedness, communitas is a spontaneous, immediate, concrete way of relating to others. It is what many would call authentic. This distinction was key in the works of existentialist philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre, who called the structural way of relating to others bad faith. His existentialism was about being authentic and breaking through to the genuine person underneath what he saw as the mask of structure. In communitas, you are not a waiter, a boss, or a great artist. You are a unique human who I am meeting in this moment and doing a dance with. We are figuring out how to relate to each other and who each other are in an intoxicating back and forth that is immediate and spontaneous. In structure, our behavior is guided by the rules and laws. In communitas, our behavior is guided by conscience and compassion. The spirit of communitas isn't a rational cognitive process. As Turner put it, communitas has an existential quality over against structure's cognitive quality. It comes from a space of feeling. It's spontaneous, immediate, and concrete. It's not like the utilitarianism of John Stuart Mill or the effective altruists, sitting down, working out what's best for everyone with an abstract calculus. It's the person out there raising money for a cancer charity because they've lost their partner, their friend, or their child to the disease. What they lack in statistical rigor, they make up for in commitment. With this heart-centered way of relating, the values of those in communitas emphasize peace over war. There's a mystical feeling of oneness, a sense of universal brotherhood and sisterhood, which makes national and racial boundaries seem like toys that children fight over. Communitas is cosmopolitan in Diogenes' sense of the word. We are citizens of the cosmos, not just my tribe, my city, my nation, but the entire planet and the entire universe. In contrast to structure then, communitas is expansive, unstructured, and pregnant with infinite potentiality. No piece of art or media captures this cosmopolitan, egalitarian spirit of infinite potential that is communitas better than John Lennon's Imagine, where he sings, "Imagine no possessions, I wonder if you can, no need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will live as one." The beautiful, naive dreamer quality captures the pure, mystical feeling that is communitas. Pure communitas is such a wonderful part of human nature to be in that many have sought to make this state permanent. This is the ultimate goal of anarchism and also of Marxism, insofar as Marx talks about the withering away of the state. It's also the dream of hippie communes and the promise of many cults. But the idea of a communitas society is inherently paradoxical. The communitas mode of interrelatedness is inherently unstructured. Structure seems like domination and inauthenticity to those in the communitas mode. It is, by definition, spontaneous, immediate, and concrete. Attempts to make this state more permanent inevitably take us into the realm of structure. And here, hierarchy and status begin to emerge again. In the Marxist system, the bourgeoisie is lower than the peasant, who is lower than the proletariat. In the social justice movement, black is better than white, feminine is better than masculine, and non-hierarchy is better than hierarchy. The communitas sentiment of equality and universal sisterhood and brotherhood collides with the world of structure and crystallizes into a polarized complementary structure. In order to bring about any communitas-oriented revolution, there must be an organization and a mobilization. After all, the system that these revolutionaries are up against are incredibly organized and structured by definition. In order to besiege this system, the revolutionaries must themselves become organized and thus institutionalized. At this point, hierarchy, whether it is explicit or implicit, begins to seep in. Communitas is like a snowflake that is equal parts perfect and ephemeral. It is here, and a moment later it is gone. But the memory is forever touched by this beauty. Communitas movements like anarchism, Marxism, and social justice are communitas inspired, but to the extent that they are movements, they partake not of communitas, but structure. Communitas is a spontaneous and immediate way of interrelating. It's an incredibly fragile state. It's like the flow state. We're only in flow when we are unconscious of being in flow. Once the consciousness of difference and preference between equality and inequality has re-emerged, we've already left the realm of communitas behind us. Communitas is the ocean of chaos that renews the order of structure. As Jordan Peterson explores in his book Maps of Meaning, an order that goes too long without being resubmerged in the waters of communitas becomes ossified, rigid, and corrupt. Looking at the state of our political, legal, and economic systems today, it is safe to say that this has come to pass. There are radical voices on the left and right working to bring about this desperately needed resubmerging. The left envisions this resubmerging progressively as something we must move towards, as a new world we must build. Those on the right, on the other hand, are more reactionary and look backwards to institutionalized religion. This reactionary movement has a point. The only place where communitas has been permanently structured in large-scale societies is within institutionalized religion. Across traditions, there are monasteries and ashrams where seekers of communitas can go. Every monastery has its abbot or its Zen master or its guru. This guru is the top dog, and there are strict rules in place that the adherents must follow. This strong dose of structure creates a powerful container within which this ephemeral, fragile state of communitas can be nurtured and sustained over a longer period. So institutionalized religions created a container within which communitas could be sustained. They created a container that could hold this fragile state. And we should note that this was only possible because of the monastic structure, not just with its material support of food and shelter, but with its strict rules and traditions. Outside of the monasteries, institutionalized religion preached the values of communitas to the culture. For centuries, the greatest kings of Europe bowed before the Pope and other religious leaders. It was only with the French Revolution that the first violent separation between church and state happened. This division of the moral domain of communitas from the political, legal, economic domain of structure seems to have been the uncoupling of society's head and its heart. The political, economic, legal structure was renewed by the constant presence of this institutionalized communitas. Of course, it's also worth noting that this institutionalized communitas of religion also needs renewal. the structure of the Catholic Church is more rotted structure than living communitas at this point, much as the religion of the Pharisees was in Christ's time. The ancient Jewish religion has a wonderful capacity to integrate new communitas from outside the institutionalized religion through its prophetic tradition. The prophets could emerge from their inferior liminal marginality and declaim the corruptions of the institution, thus forcing a renewal of the tradition, a re-baptism in communitas. Mahayana Buddhism had, and in many places still has, similar mechanisms. The Western religions are now so literal and set in stone that there is no possibility of renewal. There is only the inevitable slow death of any structure lacking renewing contact with communitas. As such, our institutionalized religions are not our salvation, but merely one aspect of structure in dire need of renewal. This dire need is a fact that is gaining increasing agreement in our culture, and we can see that this structure is being assailed by the acolytes of communitas, all calling for a big icy bucket of communitas to be thrown over the rotting skeleton of the structure. But these forces of communitas are, as one would expect given the nature of communitas, poorly structured. The right-wing radicals want to go back to the communitas of institutionalized religion. The progressive social justice want to go forward with their newer vision of communitas. Meanwhile, the hippies are retreating to the edges and forging their own path. The integralists are waiting on a higher stage of cultural development. And the techno-optimists are projecting their rapture of the nerds into the multi-planetary post-singularity future. The jury is still out on which path, if any, can rebirth the culture. That's everything for this episode of The Living Philosophy. I'd like to thank David Pelabosian, Stephen Bartlett Fan, Ibiso Feisa, and all the other patrons for their support of the channel. If you'd like to get access to weekly bonus episodes, monthly Q&As, and get your name in the credits like these fine people, then you can head over to Patreon. As ever, if you have any thoughts, insights, or feedback, I'd love to hear from you down in the comments. Otherwise, I shall see you next time. Thank you for watching.